Thank God for all of you today. Praise the Lord. Let's take Romans, the 8th chapter. I did something last week and, that I never normally do. And I was in prayer the other day, and the Lord gave me a word. Sometimes He does it, sometimes He lets me preach it, sometimes He doesn't. And then portions of it. So we're going to have this whole great thing written out sermon today. No, not really. But I want to say this, and then we'll be done this morning. It's good to have saints of God out. It's always good to have those who will come. I wish I had more. Sometimes they come, sometimes they don't. I'm praying that they'll grow more in God. I want to talk about today. I'm looking at Romans 8th chapter. And we read it in Christian Education for all of them in Scripture this morning. I want to thank God for all of you. I want to pray for all of the sick today. Pray the Lord will heal them, up and bind them. All the wounded today. Romans, the 8th chapter. And I think what I'm going to do is, I think I'm going to read in the New King James as opposed to, I'm transitioning over to New King James. And when we buy a new Bible, I promise they'll all be New King James. Someone would say, well, I don't want to stop using that King James Bible. I always have my King James Bible, but some words just need to be in a more modern term so that people understand them. And if you have a real problem with that, then you need to start reading the Bible in Greek and Arabic. Because it hasn't always been written in King James either. So if you really don't want to push that issue so far, then get you a Greek Bible. You really want to go back to the original text. some people like to come against anything you do. Amen. But we're not there today. We're going to look in Romans chapter 8 today. And we read this morning in Christian Education and for our opening scripture. We're going to go down and read again today. And I want to look at verse number, we'll start with, I want to say this about Romans the 8th chapter. When you read Romans the 8th chapter, and I want to encourage you today, when you read Romans the 8th chapter like all the Word of God does, it congruents. And at any point that you start in the Word of God, you need to see what there was, why it is where it is. And in Romans, by the time you get down to the 8th chapter of Romans, everyone needs to know that now Paul talks specifically about the work of the Holy Spirit, as opposed to talking specifically about the work of God the Father in chapters 1, 2, and 3, bringing Jesus Christ in when he talks about chapter 4 and 5, and the blood of Christ specifically in chapter 6. And in Romans, by the time he gets to the 8th chapter, he talks about not only with Christ in 6 and 7, because in 7 he always also talks about the death of Christ separating us from sin. By the time you get to the 8th chapter of Romans, if you're really reading your Bible, then he introduces someone else, and that's the Holy Spirit.
Yes.
And he talks about now, by the time he gets to this, he takes his time with the saints that he's writing to in Romans, because he's telling them how to be saved. And if any pastor, if any person would want to really understand how, you know, to someone how to be saved, and Romans certainly does explain that. So by the time he gets to the 26th verse of 8, he says, likewise, the Spirit also helps our weaknesses, or helps our infirmities, as it says in the Old King James. But we do not know what to pray for as we ought, but the Spirit himself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. Now he who searches the heart knows what the mind of the Spirit is, because he makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God. And we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are the called according to his purpose. And when he makes this statement, he's referring to all the things that God does. He's not just saying everything in the world works together for good, because the devil is never working for the good. Don't ever think that he is. And you can put yourself in position sometimes that the devil will take advantage of you, and it's not working together for your good.
Amen. Yeah.
It's God who brings you out. So when Paul makes the statement, all things work together for good, don't stand around people who don't know God. Hey, you know, everything works together for good. No, not in your life, because you don't have one who makes everything. So when he says we know all things work together for good, he's referring to all the things that God does. He's referring to the work of God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. He's saying everything that God does, everything that he does and everything that he allows, all those things, they work together for God's purpose. And it all goes back to Jeremiah to bring you to an expected end, which is God's end. It must all congrue. Right? It has to all come together. And he makes this statement. He says, and he goes on and talks about whom he foreknew and whom he predestinated. We talked about that in Ephesians. And if you'll allow me, for the sake of time, I'm going to drop down to verse 31. What then shall we say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? If God be for us, if you have the Lord on your side, what can stand against you? If God be for us, if God is all right with me, if my way is pleasing God, when a man's ways please the Lord, he maketh even his enemies to be at peace with him. If God be for us, if what I'm doing has God on my side, if the way that I'm going has God on my side, what can stand against me? If God is the one, if I'm in line with God, if it's in the will of God, who can stand against me? Who did not spare his own son, who spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not also with him freely give us all things? If God was willing that he give his only begotten son, that he give his own son to die for us in our place, his sinless son to die in our place, so that he could carry out his plan for us and so that we could be saved. We have this great salvation. And I am so disappointed in people when they treat it so shabbily. Won't halfway come to church, won't halfway glorify God. Just make it be so casual, and it's by incident that we serve God, and we'll serve him if we have time, and we won't worry about it if we don't. And, you know, and just, when it's convenient. We're just so casual. We have this great salvation. That came at such a tremendous price. And he used so much power to do. He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, gave him up to the cross, to the evil crucifixion cross, to put nails in his hands, for my sake. And I sometimes, in my own mind, the Spirit said to me one day, he said, when you read in Isaiah 51 and Isaiah 51, the last verse, where it says that his visage was marred more than anyone, and he was beaten and battered and torn. And the Spirit said to me, that's what you look like when you're in sin.
That's right, yes.
You're just a mess. From head to toe, you're just unrecognizable before God. And you're dripping and falling apart and stumbling and can barely make it because of the ravages of sin. Gave his only begotten son for me. How shall he not also with him give us all things? How dare anyone bargain with God and barter with God? Well, if God's so great, why doesn't he? You know what? Just the fact that he lets you finish the sentence is grace of God. The fact that you can breathe, that your heart still beats after you should say such a thing, is the grace of God. The fact that you woke up this morning with no mind to be in the house of God, to be near the people of God, you have your own attitude and your way you come and won't surrender all to God and say, Lord, wash me today and cleanse me today and, you know, create in me a clean heart today and renew it at the end of the day. The fact that you don't have a contrite spirit when you come before God today, and in your arrogance you sit there and God should be satisfied. That in itself is, you know, really, what do you want me to tell you? You don't get this verse.
You don't get it. Yes.
You don't have the sensitivity, and you don't get out of it what the Spirit is telling you. He's saying to you, he spared not his own son for you. How shall he not also give him all with him all things? Who shall bring a charge against God's elect? It is God who judges. And when I read this today, Chandra, And you know what, you know it's called enunciation, Assistant Surgeon, all we college folk, is diction. And we say, who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God who justifies. Wrong diction. You need to say, who's going to accuse me? It's God who justified me.
Yes.
How are you going to tell me I'm wrong when it's God who justified me?
Yes.
How are you going to tell me I'm still in sin when it's God who set me free? Who shall accuse me? It's God who says I'm not guilty. Doesn't matter what you have to say. It is God who says I'm not guilty. It's God who justifies me. It's God. He goes on. He says, who shall bring a charge against God's elect? It is God who justifies. Who is he who condemns? It's Christ who died. How are you going to keep condemning me when the person who saved me is God's own son, Christ, who died?
Yeah.
It isn't my cousin who died, my brother who died,
okay,
my uncle who died, my mother who died, my father who died, my friend who died. It's Christ. How are you going to keep doing this? How are you going to say that I'm not saved? It's Christ who died and furthermore is risen, who is even at the right hand of God, who also makes intercession with, who shall separate us from the love of God? How are you going to do that? How are you going to keep God? We always talk about nothing going to stop me from loving God. You're not going to stop God from loving me. How are you going to keep God from what's going to separate me? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? And all these, we understand these words. We don't have to go through all of them. And we have this next verse that we don't seem to understand. For your sake, it says, for your sake, we're killed all day long. We're accounted for the slaughter. In other words, it's making this point, because when it really comes down to it, when it comes down to it without God, this is what happens to us.
Yes.
This is our worth. This is what we're like if God doesn't keep us. When it really comes down to it, like it's written, we're just out there for sin to destroy us. We're laying out there for the devil to do what he wants with us.
Yeah.
We're out there. We're counted as sheep for the slaughter. You know, if this is God, we're not wolves or lions. We are sheep.
Yes.
And the devil can come in and wipe us out any time if it's not for God. He says in this, yet in all these things, when we could be destroyed, we are more than conquerors. We're all conquerors.
We're conquerors, yes.
He says through him that loved us. And I'm sure, he says, I'm persuaded that neither death nor life nor angels nor principalities nor powers or things present or things to come. These are the things we were talking about the other night, and I'm going to tie this in with Friday night. These are the things that we read that we don't think about. My life.
Yes.
What's in my life. We ought to sing the song every day. In my life, Lord. Be glorified.
Okay.
Be glorified. We should be singing that every day. And meaning it. He says, in all these things, he writes this. He says, no height, nor depth, nor any other creature, any other created thing, any other creature shall separate us from the love of God. When I'm up, I'm in God. When I'm down, I'm in God. When people give me kudos, I'm in God. When people condemn me, I'm in God. When I'm at my best day, I'm in God. When I'm on my worst day, I'm in God. When I'm feeling really good, and as Paul was reading, I'm saying, I'm not kicking too high today. When I'm kicking high, I'm in God. When I'm not kicking too high, I'm in God.
Yes.
It doesn't, all these things. He says, in all this, shall separate from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus. And now, I want you to look at one more scripture, because I talked about it the other night. It's in Matthew 6 chapter. Matthew chapter 6. And it's in the Lord's Prayer. We talked about it the other night. And he says in his verse number 13. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Lead us not, in other words, lead us through all these trials and things we go through.
Yes.
See us through.
See
all
us
this
through,
long
Lord.
List that Paul writes down here in Romans, when he says, while we are more than conquerors in Christ Jesus, because he leads us to. Leads us through, lead us not to. But he delivers us from evil. And now I want to talk about all this that I wrote in the book that I don't have to see, that the Lord gave me in prayer. And I want to ask you a question. Why are you a victim when you can be a victor?
Yes.
Why do you keep letting yourself be a
victim
when you can be a victor? Don't you know when you don't have Christ, when temptations come and trials come and all these things he listed and all these ways he listed, I want Christ to, you know, and we can be victims. Some people are victims forever. We are victims sitting around in church. Yes, many of us were hurt in church. Yes, many of us had our hearts broken. We could be victims, but we're not.
Yes.
Because we're victims because we let God heal us.
Yes, yes.
We didn't leave because we let God fix us.
Yes. Yes.
We have victory. We are more than conquerors.
Yes.
We could have left when this happened. I have people sitting around going to court talking about how they were abused as a child. Well, man, you're 40 years old by now.
Yeah, that's right.
Yes, you used to be a victim. Yes, you were, but you can be a victor.
Yes.
Come to God, let Him bring you out.
Yes.
Don't let the evil overtake you. We have people who are sitting around talking about, even in this church, about, well, in the first years I was taught this, I was taught that, and I can't because of what they showed me. You were a victim. Stop being a victim.
Yes.
Then come on out.
Yes.
Deliver you from whatever you say was evil is making you a victim. You have God.
Yes.
You need to pray the prayer. Lead me not to temptation, but deliver me from what I think is evil.
Yes.
Deliver me from what's hurt me so I'm no longer a victim. I'm a victor. Deliver me from what's stopping me so I'm not a victim. I'm a victor. Make me a conqueror of what's in my way so I can be a victor and not a victim.
Yes.
You can sit back forever. Talk about how they've done you, victim. Or you can get God and be a victor and say they tried to do it. And you can say like Joseph, they meant it for evil, but God meant it for my good. And what they meant to destroy me and make me a victim in the well, but God made me a victor. Brought me out, sent me down, made me rich, made me second in you. I have victory. They thought when they put Christ on the cross, we have a victory. He's going to be the one that we're going to make an example of. Don't stand against Roman rule. The devil thought, I'm going to victimize God's son and show him that he can't win. I'm going to have my friends, the Romans, and their friends, the devil, put him to death, and he's going to be victimized forever. We're going to put him in a grave. Put a stone before the grave. Put a seal on it that the penalty is death to break. And he'll be in there forever. And he'll always be a victim. And since you have no Savior, you'll be a victim. Since I had no Savior, I'll be a victim. But God decided after 3 days and three nights, I'm going to resurrect him. And he's going to have victory over death. And his victory is my victory. His victory over death is my victory. His victory over sin is my victory. His victory over Satan is my victory. I need the Lord to lead and guide me when I go through trials. All trials are not sin. Some of them are sent by the devil. Wherever they come from, be they great or small, every day just getting up in the morning, especially on Sunday, you go through a trial. Whether you're going to worship God or not, it's an easy one and a no-brainer for most of us, but some people struggle with it. And you let the devil sit there and give you a trial about serving God who delivered you and saved you. You let the devil make it a trial of whether or not you're going to worship God today or not. Some people go through a trial. Shall I cheat on my income tax? It's a trial.
Yes.
Shall I do this? Shall I do that? Shall I blow up when they say something to me? Am I going to be hurt forever? Am I going to remind myself of what I went through? And you go through all of them. And when you got God, you're asking, now lead me and show me the way I'm supposed to feel about this. And what I'm supposed to do about this. And what I'm supposed to do with this. So that the evil doesn't overtake me.
Yeah.
That's all right. I stay mad enough, I get evil. I stay hurt long enough, I get evil.
That's right.
I stay discouraged long enough, I get evil.
That's right.
I get discouraged enough, I get evil. If you're not letting God deliver you, you get evil.
That's
when your attitude changes, you become all sinful. I have to watch myself. The Lord said to me one day, He says, your preaching has become awfully cynical. He says, you got a burden on your heart that you need to get rid of.
He says,
because it's coloring everything you preach and every way you move. And it's affecting you and how you respond to people. That's the evil. I need the Lord. So, did you stop me to say, no, I didn't backslide. I was still on God's side. I was still in the Lord. But I could tell, because the Holy Ghost was telling me, you've got something weighing on you. And you need the Lord to deliver you. Because if it's weighing on you, and it's hard for you not to sound like God, look like God, act like God, Be like God is evil.
Is he evil? Yeah, that's right.
I need
someone to come in when I'm being tried and lead me in the way everlasting. And lead me around what needs to be around. Lead me through what needs to go through. Take out the way what I can't go through and can't go around. Get rid of what doesn't need to be in the first place. Build a bridge where I need a bridge. Part the sea when I need to sea part it. So that the evil doesn't overtake me. So I deliver from the evil.
Deliver us from the evil.
So that I won't walk around. And the first conversation I get, how you know? I'm doing okay, but you know how they've done me. You're still a victim. And I remember when they said this to me, you're still a victim. If it's been longer than 2 or 3 days ago, for God's sake, 3 or 4 months ago, stop being a victim. By now, if you got the Holy Ghost and your Holy Ghost is the same as mine, there's one spirit. He's already told you to let it go. And he comes and tells you, because I got so much more. So what does he have? I've got a son who gave his life for you. I've got his powerful death, his burial, his resurrection. And that's supposed to make everything all right. So you can have victory.
Have victory.
I remember when they told us, well, the reason why I'm going through is because they always told us, are you still a victim? When are you going to get victory?
Yes.
Whom the Son sets free is free indeed.
Yes.
Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's
liberty. Yes.
Go free. I'm just saying, see, I'm trying to get you out of being a victim.
All right, help us, Lord.
And you keep reminding me why you're a victim. I'm trying to get you to victory. And you keep reminding me why you're a victim. Some people are going to wonder, why is a Vincent Smith and this, that, and the other? Because I'm tired of going to victim meetings.
Yeah.
I want to be where people have victory.
Victory.
Amen.
Yes,
amen.
I'm tired of hearing victim sermons.
Yes.
I'm not a victim. You're not going to make me be one.
Amen.
I have victory in Christ Jesus. I'm more
than a conqueror.
In Christ Jesus. The devil, even when I look in this room, don't you know this is a trial?
Yes.
And the devil keeps saying to me, when the people going to come? I don't care. I'm more than conqueror.
Yes, yes.
They'll come in God's time. And God told me.
Yes.
He said to me when I read Zechariah, he told Joshua, didn't tell himself, but he told Joshua, yes he did. He said, tell Joshua, told Zechariah, tell Joshua, that the hands that begin to build this temple, all those 18 years later, he said, they're going to finish it.
All right.
18 years after they started. He said, tell Joshua.
Yes.
That the hands that begun this temple
are
going to finish it.
Amen.
And I felt such great welling up in me. I said, that's the Lord.
That's the Lord.
Because I don't even know why I'm back here in this part of the Bible.
Yes.
It's the word of God. You need to make up your mind. Everybody said.
That's all right.
All right, yes.
Tired of being a victim. You should make up your mind. I'm tired of being a victim of my past.
Yes.
I'm tired of being a victim of what somebody said to me.
Yes.
You even need to say, I'm tired of being a victim of my own stupidity.
Yes, yes.
I'm tired of being a victim of dumb stuff I've done.
Yeah.
If any man be in Christ, he's a new creature.
Yes.
I'm tired of being victimized. By what I've been through. If the Lord to whom the Son sets free is free, and if God works it through, go free. And go on in God. One, everybody likes to talk about the Apostle Paul, but I'm going to tell you this. When the Lord set him free, he never looked back. He's the one who said that we have perfect liberty in Christ, and walk in the perfect liberty that is in Christ. He knew about that.
Yes, yes.
Keep going back talking about how they hurt you, what they done, what they told you, where they were. You going to be a victim forever? Are you going to be a victim?
Yes.
Well, next time you pray and get to that, ask God, Lord, lead me through temptation. Lead me through my trials.
Yes.
And deliver me from anything that would be evil. Father, in Jesus' name.
Yes.
Thank you for your goodness and your mercy. I thank God. I thank God. For saving me, I thank God. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, I pray, Lord, you bless everybody who's on this screen. Some we can see and some we can't see, but Lord, you see everyone. Lord, I pray, Lord, you bless them today. Lord, you not only see the minds, but you see the hearts. And Lord, that's what we are praying that you touch today. Lord, touch every heart. Lord, touch every heart, oh Lord. Lord, touch every heart, oh Lord. Lord, I pray, Lord, touch every heart.
Yes, Lord.
Lord, and for every evil way you find, Lord, lead them in the way everlasting, oh God. In the name of Jesus, Lord, touch and fix every heart, Lord, search every mind. Purge every conscience by the Holy Spirit, oh God. Create in us a new heart. Renew in us a right spirit, oh God. Lead us in the way everlasting. Oh God, lead us to victory. Lord, bring all those, Lord, who are still victims from things 10 years ago, and victims from things 20 years ago, and victims from things 5 years ago, a year ago, 6 months ago. Lord, deliver. Lord, bring them out so they'll be conquerors, oh God. Lord, all these things in this list they got, oh God, that are separating them. Lord, I pray, Lord, lead us not to temptation. Lead us around it. Deliver us from all those things. In the name of Jesus, Lord, that we would not be victims. But Lord, we would be victors. Lord, that we would have the victory through Christ Jesus. Lord, give us the victory in Jesus' name. Lord, give us victory over sickness today. All those, Lord, who are victimized by the ravages of sickness and disease, Lord, heal us today and give us victory in Christ Jesus. Lord, all those whose minds are downtrodden, lift us up, deliver the brokenhearted, set the captives free, bring us out, oh God, give us victory in Christ Jesus. And Lord, we'll give you all the glory. Give you all the honor. And all the praise in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Victory is mine. Victory is mine. Victory today is mine. I told Satan, get me behind. Victory today is mine. When I rose before, I did have a doubt.